Hi, you guys want some cookies? 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 Cookies?
Hello and welcome from the new garage. That's a umlaut over the U after the N. You follow. It's the Throwback Podcast, your guide to music, culture, and all the good stuff. Well, if you were born exactly 1980, Dan Hans is here with my bosom buddy, Bubby Castron. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Dan. I feel like you're over-promising things right off the bat, like music and culture. I feel like that's not what we do here.
Our version of culture.
Okay, and our version
of music. It's a very low.
And our version of music as well. Like, we're really just kind of limited to alt-rock and dumb.
People get it.
People get it.
I mean, it's our culture. It's right. A low cult. What is the old Chuck Klosterman book? Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. He called it a low culture manifesto. We're several tiers below that.
Right, right. We're not making like the astute references that Chuck Klosterman was able to
There's
make.
Nothing astute going on.
Nothing astute.
On this podcast. And it is our third show back from hiatus, so we should at this point. The first two episodes were dick.
What?
Yeah, they're just, you know, come on. First two episodes back, anything. First two back of anything is going to be terrible. Third one probably bad too. This will be bad too.
This is going to be bad.
Yes. Fourth one will be actually worse. The fifth one will be a light. It'll be like, oh, well, it might be something. And then the sixth one will come and be like, actually the worst one ever. And you'll be like, oh, we're never going to get it back. Then the seventh one will come out, and then a sense of kind of you just give in at that point to the reality that the show's never coming back to what it was. By the eighth episode, you're not even here.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You hung yourself after the seventh episode. God. That's how bad it was. And then we'll bring it in for a close with that kid from high school, Evan, that looked like you. It will be me and him.
You're bringing in little Bubby?
And that episode will be awesome.
Wait, little Bubby is going to come and save the show.
He's going to kill it. And I'll be like, it will end with, well, I got to end the show because I feel bad because Bob hung himself after episode 7. But I just want you to know, Ev, like, awesome job.
That kid did look a lot like me. And he did not like being called little Bubby one bit.
You don't want to be called little anything in general. There's both ways. Like, you don't want to be called little. I've talked about this on my successful podcast. You don't want the waiter to be like, how about you, big guy?
Right, right.
You never want to be called big guy. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be that either. Just, you know, people have to understand that. Like, no extremes in your descriptors.
Well, yeah, and when I've gotten the big guy in the past, that was an...
Hey, big guy, what are you getting?
That was an immediate sign I had to lose weight quick.
Hey, Pink, the whole menu for you?
I am not a big guy. I'm not like pushing 6 feet. So if I get a big guy, that's just like, hey, fatty, fat, fat.
Hey, Pig, what do you want?
Well, I got to say, I mean, I know I'm going to die pretty soon, but I do like that I like a low bar, and you really set the bar low, not just on this episode, but for the next like 3 months.
Yes. I'm sorry, but also it's important to have that level of honesty as we get into it. This is our first countdown ep of the relaunch.
The reboot.
And we're doing, of course, as people know, the reason this thing is happening, the reason why this show returned is because of Kelsey Grammer.
It has nothing to do with...
So once again, thank you,
don't.
Kelsey Grammer, the great actor, thespian, really.
I mean, the guy who's done one character for 40 years.
Because we were looking, we were searching for
a reason
to move forward. What else is there to accomplish after 156 out of 10 episodes? And guess what? The Frasier reboot came out.
I said,
there is greatness after mediocrity.
I do like every time there's like a long hiatus for anything, anybody, when they come back and they talk about how like, you know, I prayed on it and I wrestled with it for some time. And then I realized like, this is what I need to do. It's always about money. Like every single time. Like, I was wrestling with it. I really, my wife and I, we took, you know, don't drown me out with Kelsey Grammer.
It's calling again.
They're calling again.
It's a good point, though.
This did get picked up for a second season, by the way.
Yeah, it did.
It did.
And maybe this show will, too. Well, me and Evan.
You and Evan.
Little Booby.
You and little, that poor guy.
Like, it's like Little Booby and Big Guy back for another season of the Throwback Podcast.
Wouldn't it be great if his entire life has been a little version of my life?
Oof.
Like, he's just off in, like, not Hollywood, but he's doing stuff in
TKR, like the
TKR cable in Rockland County. He's married to, like, the poorest man's version of my wife. He's got two crappy kids.
Shitbags.
Little shitbags.
But they resemble your children.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
But worse.
But real bastards. Like, no redeeming qualities.
I like that.
This countdown will study the top 10 of the modern rock charts on the first week of May in 2005, which was, you know, there's probably some younger listeners to this show. Is that possible?
No.
Imagine there is, though.
Okay.
Imagine there's impossibly someone right now listening to the show that's in their mid-20s, as we were.
You said 20s.
When this countdown we're about to go through, when these songs were popular, it's a time of searching. It's a time of new experiences. It's a time of elation. It's a time of disappointment. And Bob, I know spring of 2005, because I was there. That was an interesting time for you.
2005 in general is one of those, like, it's probably one of the biggest years of my life, period.
Mm.
So that's going to be fun to get into. And yeah, May, we're smack in the middle of all of the shit. Some good, actually a lot, very, very good, but with a dark storm cloud overhead.
This sounds like a terrible book. If we wrote a memoir together, Bob, this would be the name of the chapter would just be Canada.
Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there would be a lot to it. And we'll get into that. But if you are, do we want to do any housekeeping, by the way, about what's going on with the show? Or do we want to save that for in the back end? You tell me.
I don't know. Maybe we do it here. We've never.
All right, Bob, yeah. I'm going to get out of the way because you have a better handle on this.
Is it because when I talk, you don't listen to me?
Correct.
Got it.
So as you know, we're back, third episode back, and we are retooling the show, as you've probably noticed, is more or less the same. But how we're delivering the show and some ideas about, you know, how we're connecting with you, the audience, going forward, that is changing. And now I will hand the floor over to Bob Castrone.
Yeah, it was really interesting when we were talking. God damn you. It was really interesting when we were talking about bringing it back. One thing I think we both agreed on was, like, we wanted to have that interaction with people because, like, that's been a really fun part of this.
Yeah.
But we also don't want to do more work.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been a thing that really kind of can kill this podcast. You're still not listening. I kind of like this. It's a little too loud there. You got to lower it. Making your way in the world today. Are we just going to listen to it? Everything you've got.
Taking a break from all your worries. Sorry, but that is the theme song.
Of what, us? Or just it's overall?
Us. It's us. All right, go ahead, Bob.
We are back. We are going to be doing 2 episodes a month, every month, and we are not stopping. We are not going to stop when the NFL season comes out. We are going to have episodes every month until I hang myself, which I guess is happening pretty quickly.
After episode 7.
So, yeah.
A little bit of a Final Destination vibe to the app now.
That's right. We are not stopping. 2 episodes a month, every month, forever, or until Heather just says that we can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it's about no. It's actually Little Booby's wife. Really tough woman to look at.
What's her crappy name?
Eloise.
Eloise. Until Eloise fucking ends this thing,
bitch.
And in order to make this happen, we're gonna kind of retool the way that we're delivering the show. Like, we want to be one of those. And your husband wants to
be a girl. Wait, what?
What? Wait, what just happened? Be glad there's one
place in the world where everybody. Wow, so there was some.
What the fuck just happened?
Some shaming. Gender, some gender shaming in verse 2 of the Cheers theme.
There is some trans hate.
So basically, What? Wow. Well, it's are we canceling Cheers right now?
It's Boston. It kind of makes
sense. It is Boston. It checks out. But so apparently to the writer of the song.
Right.
That's crazy. The writer of the song, when he was coming up with the worst case scenario. Well, it is, you know, even in today's culture, it would be shitty if your spouse was like, I'm switching sides to your side and leaving you.
Right.
I mean, we respect the journey of that person.
Of course, of course.
But you would probably want to go to the local tavern and have a few after you got the news.
You know what? Just the bare, you're being left.
You know what? I stand with the writer of the song.
Oh, man, that's a bad place to stand right now. There you go.
I did it. I did it.
This is it.
I'm not turning back. Well, I support the rainbow flag.
Of course you do.
But I also support that man getting terrible news. and want to have a couple drinks.
Wanting to have a couple drinks.
Yeah.
That's really what he's guilty of.
Yeah.
Man, I don't even know how we keep going. Now we're just listening to Hall & Oates. I don't even know what's happening anymore.
All right, go ahead.
This podcast, see, we told you it was going to be bad.
So bad. Bob's going to kill himself.
So yeah, so over the course of this year,
yeah,
after I kill myself, we're going to keep putting out new episodes. They're going to be on Patreon. We're retooling all the tiers.
Why are you even doing this if you know you're not going to be around for any of it?
For you. I want to set you up.
Me and Little Bubby?
I want to set you and Little Bubby up for
that is so cool of you, by the way.
I'm a good guy. That's my legacy, is you and Little Bubby.
That is so cool, dude.
Big man and Little Bubby.
Thanks, bro.
Big guy.
So Big Guy and Little Bubby podcast here. I mean, that's selfless.
Yeah.
Selfless as it gets.
So you should go to patreon.com/throwbackpod, where you're going to be able to find the archives. You're going to be able to interact with us more. We're going to have mini episodes for you guys. Like, we're still figuring it out. And by that, I mean, I've figured it out and I've said it to Dan and he hasn't listened.
And I've nodded.
He's
while
nodded.
I was thinking of something else.
Exactly. So, yeah. But just know this show is going to be there. So patreon.com/throwbackpod.
And there's a lot of reasons why we're doing that. But also generally, it just makes sense. That's kind of where we want to take the podcast in the direction of the Patroni land, where it's more kind of a club. And if you get it, you're in. If you don't, you're out. And you don't even know it exists. And that helps us for a lot of reasons.
For a lot of reasons.
So thank you to everybody for listening. And please support. It will put Little Boobies shitbag kids through boarding school.
They're not getting into even a boarding school.
Well, it's like military school.
Military school, yeah.
Right. Before they drop out at 15. But we don't need to look into the future. All right. You want to get into it? Anything else?
Let's get into it. Let's go back to May 2005.
Do you want to put us in that place in time?
Well, you know, I could set you up a little bit by saying it was the month that Lionel Messi scored his first goal for Barcelona. It was the month.
Wow, he's old.
It was the month that Family Guy came back after getting canceled.
Which everyone was very excited about with good reason.
I was so excited.
I feel like it was a good cultural marker. A good marker of... Not cultural marker, but a good marker when you went to someone's apartment. It used to be a very big deal what they had in their CD collection, what they had in their DVD collection. Mm-hmm. If you had Family Guy season 1 and 2 on DVD, which I know both of us had, if you saw somebody that had that as well, I was like, okay, you're cool.
You get it. You were paying attention.
You were paying attention. Right. And it's hard for people now when they're in season 25 or whatever and the show is... all over meme culture and all that stuff. But there was a time where the Family Guy was a underappreciated, canceled show.
Underground canceled
that
show.
That did not exist. There was no Reddit. There was no conversations going on about it other than there was, I'm sure, message board conversations. But
right.
What were message boards, Bob? It was kind of Reddit, but more clunky.
Exactly.
but like people... went out and got those first 2 years, seasons of the show, and that brought it back.
Yeah, it was unheard of at the time.
And the funny thing is, once it came back, I don't think I really watched it.
Right.
Like, I would check in here and there,
It was a big deal, like, right off the bat, everybody got right back in.
Right.
And then, you know, the show's been on for the rest of our lives. So
but
you just
I don't remember being kind of in once it returned, because it became popular once it returned.
Right.
And maybe that was part of it. It was like the cool kid thing.
We were in the
hipster Family Guy fan.
We were in the prime of our lives, so we weren't sitting around watching a lot of cartoons. Let's just say that.
But I think there was something to the idea of that that was our show, and then it came back and started to get traction. And it was like,
now it's everybody's.
It wasn't as cool anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's cool. So nice.
But that wasn't like the biggest TV moment of me.
Do you do a Peter Griffin?
No. Do you?
Only one word.
Let's hear it.
Good.
One more time.
Good.
One more time.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
It's a limited impression.
I like it though.
Yeah.
It's no Pacey. Your Pacey is still better.
Dawson.
That's still perfect. But you know what else was perfect?
Fuck my teacher.
You know what else was perfect in May 2005? Yes. This moment.
We've never seen you behave this way before.
I know.
Have you ever felt this way before?
Oh.
Look at Oprah laughing. Look at Tom Cruise laughing. He's on the fucking couch, people.
I'm not going to pretend.
He is just ruining his career right there.
He sounded insane there.
He looks so insane.
Well, that I know that the I'm not going to pretend. Wait, can you play that part again at the end? That was nuts.
I'm not going to pretend.
Oh, my God. He was at that point, even though he was.
Oh, he's jumping back on the couch. He's jumping back on the couch. People are going nuts.
Man. Wow. That, because I remember he had kind of like the floppy hair at that point, yeah. And he was probably in his mid to late 40s, but looked still youthful. And I obviously he was trying to humanize himself, and it backfired. He was with Katie Holmes. Do you think that Katie Holmes, who I always loved,
of course,
speaking of Pacey
Dawson,
Witter,
Dawson, yeah.
Do you think she was potentially, as John Mayer said? What did John Mayer say about Jessica Simpson? A sexual napalm. One of my fantasy baseball team names.
That was.
Do you think that Katie Holmes was potentially sexual napalm and Tom Cruise was, in addition to being a good partner, a great partner, and that was an authentic expression?
How do you even unpack the Tom Cruise? I mean, millions of words have been written about this. Like, this was like a defining moment in his career. Like, people stopped. He was so like guarded up until this moment. And then in either a complete lack of understanding how it would go, or just he was so overcome with love that he couldn't help it. Whatever it was, he just let his guard down and became a laughingstock for the first time ever. And he's never fully been like the Tom Cruise from before that since. It was a big moment. I remember I was working at Best Week Ever.
This was catnip. This might have been 9/11, like positive 9/11.
This was good 9/11.
Yeah, good 9/11 for Best Week Ever. Like, I feel like you guys got months of material out of it.
It definitely got us picked up again. Like, this was.
We could probably do better than good 9/11.
I don't know. I used to call remember the blackout in New York? I called that fun 9/11 because it was like everybody was confused and everything was closed down for a bit. This was, I think we could do better than good 9/11, but why start being better now?
You're right.
But it was like the biggest thing for Best Week Ever. And I remember using that as the example as we were starting the Best Week Ever website, bestweekever.tv, just being like, look, when something like Tom Cruise jumping on the couch happens, we should be able to go to 1515, dub a beta, then bring it back here, upload it. And within like 23 hours, we should be able to have it on the internet. And people were like, that's amazing. Like, it was so like that conversation was so like, this is going to be the future. We can get it up in a day.
Oh man. Is that crazy?
Yep.
By the way, that's not what sexual napalm, which obviously you are in a heated romantic relationship with 2008 Jessica Simpson.
Right.
I mean, come on. I'm sure it was sexual napalm. And I believe him because that guy's been with a lot of women. Good on Jessica Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
She was a great partner for him. What got him in trouble, Bob, this quote is outrageous.
Let's hear it.
John Mayer to Playboy magazine. Same interview as sexual napalm.
Okay.
My dick is sort of like a white supremacist.
All right. Yep.
Wait, hang on. Before I say this quote.
Are you going to get canceled quoting John Mayer?
People know. Okay. My dick is sort of like a white supremacist. I've got a Benetton heart and fucking David Duke cock.
Oh, God.
David Duke was, what, the head of the KKK?
KKK, yeah, yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me, John Mayer? I know you were trying to be a stand-up at the time.
That's what the problem is. He was trying to be a stand-up. He was hanging out with Best Week Ever comedians. He was good friends with Sherrod Small.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can you?
Who I remember telling me one day that he was up late the night before, him, John Mayer, Jessica Simpson, and Ashley Simpson were
Ashley Simpson
up playing video games.
She was the best.
We're up at his house playing video games where him and John were butt naked doing karaoke, I think, too.
Why naked?
It was just part of the story was him and John were both naked.
Kind of gay. Why would you be gay with your buddy playing video games?
I don't know.
The funny, he was telling that story like, it was a crazy story about my last night. Like, Jessica Simpson was there, Ashley Simpson, John Mayer, and me and John were nude together playing video games. Like, that's the headline, bud.
We're canceling, getting everybody canceled today.
I don't know, but okay, go on. What else?
I don't know. Let's get into the countdown.
All right, let's get into it. Again, first week of May, 2005. We start outside the top 10, and Bob, this was your pick.
Oh, yeah.
I love this song. I loved this band in the moment. That's a banger. Bandages was my
Their first
hot,
album.
Hot of Heat banger, but
Bandages and Oh God Damn It. I would have bet big on Hot Heat and lost. Like, I loved Hot Heat.
So, and by the way, November 29th, 2003, Hot Heat to reunite after 7 years. And then 1 month ago on Stereo Gum, Hot Heat say their reunion is over. So
oh,
we missed
no.
it.
Oh, all right.
I didn't know what happened, but it's already over.
Right. I don't know if I needed it. I think they're of a time and a place, but
they are very, I mean, they would be my pick actually for what's the most, well, the Bravery have a say in this.
Uh-huh.
But my pick for the most 2005 thing.
That's a good call. I mean, yeah.
Like, at least in the music world.
Yeah.
Or at least in the alternative music world.
Yeah, I had that first CD of theirs in my Discman walking around New York and being like, this is it. Like, just like with the Strokes and everything else that was happening at the time, Hot Heat was right up there.
Oh, look at that little thing there. And they're from Canada, actually.
Are they really?
And I remember... We'll keep dancing around until it's time to dive in, but I had a significant other based in Toronto at the time that was a huge fan. I mean, everyone knows if you're from Canada, you must be a huge fan of
The Tragically Hip.
The Tragically
of course,
Hip.
Right.
But I made her a mix CD, and I remember, I believe this was track two
okay.
of the mix CD, which I... probably was pretty proud of myself because I was like, yeah, it's fucking Canadian. Ooh. I get it. Here's my pick outside
yeah,
the top
yeah,
10.
Let's hear it.
Where was Hot Out Heat in the top 10, by the way? Or outside the top 10? Were they sniffing around?
No, they were 24th.
Ooh.
But they were on the rise, 27 the week before. They probably weren't going to.
Let me just close this tab, Google search. My cock was David Duke. I'm going to close that one.
You want to close that one?
Yeah, I'm going to close that one up. All right, number 7, number 22 on this week in 2005.
Yeah.
like when Zach Starkey on drums comes in here. You ready?
Yep.
Can I tell you that Lila by Oasis, I think, is their best post 2000 song?
This is one of my favorite Oasis songs. Like, and legitimately, I love this song.
It did pretty well. I think it should have done better.
I agree.
Here's the chorus. Vocal by Liam. Noel's writing hooky songs again. I just thought it was the lead single off Don't Believe the Truth. I remember I was living, this would have been about a year later, but I was living on the Upper West Side, 82nd in Amsterdam, and there was a New York sports club a couple blocks away. And remember back then, when you were on the elliptical or whatever, they would play, like, there would be a rock channel, a hip-hop channel, and there'd be just, like, 11 songs.
Yeah.
And it would be there for a year or something. And I always took a lot of pride that Lila was there. It was, like, here in this,
yeah,
you know, Manhattan sports, you know, gym, Oasis is still hanging around the periphery. Lila was their last kind of sniff around on any level.
I mean, that was a win for
at
Oasis
least here
in New York at that point. Like, this was not too long after we saw them at Roseland. I mean, they were...
Well, yes, on Heathen Chemistry.
Yeah.
But then, all of a sudden, we saw them at the Garden on this album.
After this album.
This album.
On this album.
Yeah, so there was some type of, like, appreciation that was gained.
It wasn't from Lila, though. Like, nobody cared about this song.
Yeah. Something clicked where they had some type of... And now they're kind of seen, I think they've really, the best thing they ever did was break up.
Right.
Because, I don't know, like, it's actually kind of crazy that I feel like they have aged as well as any 90s band.
Yeah, because they broke up.
They broke up and they had, then they, because they broke up, people mostly forgot about 2000 to 2008, which this was right in the middle of that, which is a great single, but people then focused on really the first two albums.
Right.
And Wonderwall has like 2 billion streams on Spotify. It actually is the most streamed song that came out in the 90s on Spotify.
It's amazing.
And because of that, when you hit that type of level, like, I feel like it totally rewrote their legacy, and, you know, they're up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
But I wonder, let's say they come back. Let's say they're doing the tour.
They're not coming back.
Does Lila get thrown into the wastebasket with everything else from that era and they just focus on the 90s?
Like, No.
Good, because I don't want it to. Because I think, I agree.
Might only do 2000 stuff. They're that kind of annoying.
They're assholes, yeah.
No, I think that...
They only do BDI.
I feel like they were, yeah. I think they were pretty proud of this album, Don't Believe the Truth. We've kind of danced around maybe doing this album at some point because we've done, I think, 3 to 4 Oasis albums already.
Yeah.
But this was easily my favorite 2000s release, and that was the lead single, so...
It's a great song.
Great song. Check it out. Give it a chance. Give 2000s Oasis a chance. Have we done that? That could be a good app.
Well, yeah. I think we have multiple apps in that world of like, hey, you know what's good? That band that you forgot about that was good later on.
Isn't that kind of what the show is in general?
Yes, correct.
All right, let's get into it.
Ooh.
I totally forgot about this.
Me too.
Intro.
Is this Bryan Adams? I Never Had to Really Love a Woman.
Give me some Morello.
There we are. Yes.
Someone falls to pieces.
By the way, I'm in the Audio Slave Hive.
Yeah.
Totally forgotten. Completely forgotten.
Erased by history.
And there's so many post, this was my big band project that deserves to be forgotten. This wasn't one of them. People should have remembered it.
Yeah.
Which, as I'm saying it, Bob, it makes me think that it's like a very like Bill Simmons take. Nobody even thinks about this album. But nobody even remembers it.
They're,
it's like,
they're tremendous.
They've sold like 20 million copies of albums and people love them. But
in our world,
once Chris Cornell died, unfortunately, everyone just focused on his Soundgarden career. But this band was fucking huge. Like this actually topped the Billboard mainstream rock charts for rock tracks chart for 7 weeks.
Wow.
And the modern rock charts for 4 weeks. And you heard it everywhere. This was kind of the sound of mainstream rock in the mid-2000s.
Yes. Yeah, looking at countdowns and stuff when I was trying to find an episode, like, you remember, like, this really was dominant. Like, the stuff that we were really focused on was not what everybody in America was listening to.
And maybe that's why, you know, especially where we were in our mid-20s living in the city and everything, it was like they were mainstream rock. And it was not cool. But this is what was popular then.
Right. But yeah, as like Soundgarden fans and grunge fans, like, I loved this.
This is a great guitar solo. This is so Morello in his bag, just saying, you know me.
I'm Tom.
Not mailing it in, but close to it.
Yeah. Fuck, do we have to do an Audio Slave episode? I feel like they got 8 bangers.
Do we go Audio Slave and then Velvet Revolver back to back?
Oh, shit. there you go. Audio Slave.
So good. God, his voice is so good. I know that's like the most obvious thing ever said on a podcast, but every time you listen to it, you're just like, fuck you.
It's shitty. He was one of the worst ones.
Yeah, I agree.
When you heard that he died, it was like, really? Because he thought he was out of the woods.
I was
going to
say,
he
kind
of
felt like he got out of it. Like, yep.
He did not. He didn't make it. But all right, so Audio Slave, number 10. Number 9, and just because the gargantuan nature of this band, who we just talked about on our last episode, I'm sure this song was number 1. So this is probably on its... either its ascent or descent. Let's listen to Speed of Sound, lead single, Bob, off the New York Times reviled X and Y. Speaking of mailing it in, I feel like this is the most like Mad Libs version of a Coldplay song that exists.
It's like, let's do Clocks, but a little
worse. It's a little Clocks. It's a little Yellow. It's like a little Shiver. A little, like, you know, it's got all the little Trouble. There's nothing original or new about it, but also it sounds nice.
Yeah, it's fine.
So I'm not going to bury it, but you understood why certain people that Coldplay was already kind of on their radar. We're like, see, I knew these guys are fucks. Listen to this bullshit.
How dare they? They're doing it again.
It's deeply inoffensive, but also kind of floats along. You know, everybody's like, got to fuck off a little bit.
I can't imagine, like, if I were to go see them in concert, getting too excited about this song, but also I'd be fine with it. It's right there.
They
right
don't play it anymore. Do they really not? Yeah.
Speed.
So there you go.
It says a lot about the song, the band, and the era of our lives that I had a girlfriend at this time, and this Coldplay is like the quintessential you have a girlfriend band,
mm-hmm.
and this brings back zero memories or feelings. Whereas, like, if I listen to Rush of Blood to the Head or anything like that, I'm immediately missing my college girlfriend in a way that Coldplay is good at making you feel. This does nothing, and I don't know if it's her fault or their fault, but fuck them both.
All right, calm down.
Okay. We got there quick. We're not there yet.
Yeah. I was going to say that this album is when they ascended to the mainstream in a way that, you know, left a sour taste in people's mouth, because it was like, this is where they were at their biggest, and it was not their best album.
Right.
And they were kind of with Audioslave and with my band, U2. Like, these were just mainstream rock acts. And right. So, like, if you were a certain type of person, if you were, say, in your mid-20s and living in New York or an urban center, or just considered yourself a music hipster of some kind, there's something about this song and this era of the band. It's like, oh, they're not really mine anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You could have them at this point.
Turns out they would be so much not mine more not mine later.
Right. We kind of, there's so many, I was kind of loyal to them until they completely lost the plot. But
right.
This album, I thought, X and Y has a lot of great songs on it.
Right.
It's just a little bit,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you know.
They got super rich and didn't have a ton of ideas. So, like, oh, let's make a record about math. It's like, ooh, no. Slow down. Algebra. It's like, but, and like all the guys in the band are like, oh fuck. He's not going to say it, is he? Algebra, but love.
Of course he said that. Of course.
He did it.
X equals love. What the fuck does Y
fuck
equal?
Fuck you. All right. All right. Let's move on.
Yeah, our listeners are like, you guys just spent 90 minutes talking about Coldplay. Please stop.
All right, so here's the first song in the countdown where I remember the band name. The name of the song looks familiar, but I also, right now, Happy? By Mudvayne. I can't tell you right now what it sounds like, but I feel like as soon as I hit play, I'll be like, ah, that fucking bad song. Fucking grow up.
Wow.
In this home that is me, the dead are rolling up.
I've never heard of this song before. Have you?
No, but you know who loves this song?
Who?
Little Bubby.
Oh,
fucking yeah. Loves it.
See, he'd be able to fill in some of the missing notes right now.
Did you stop it, or are we gonna keep going? All right. I couldn't
that
tell.
Was actually the song. It was like a 20-second break.
Oh, that'd be enough.
Just heads up, this is real bad.
This is so bad. The singer is terrible.
Yeah. I remember this era of, so there was mainstream rock, and then there was this harder version of rock that was very popular at the time. Like, right. Papa Roach was the best at it. Just no one's better at anything than Papa Roach.
To be clear, that's your opinion. That's not like the universal opinion of
the time. Okay. Do we need to play Scars again, Bob?
We definitely don't need to play Scars again.
This was the people that wanted to be Papa Roach.
There were 3,000 songs that sounded exactly like this.
You should know, Bob, that the album that this was taken from, the cover is an animated, like a, you know, an animation of a little boy in pajama pants holding his teddy bear by its ear, and he's walking through what appears to be a cornfield directly towards a tornado. Does that check out?
Sure, yeah, why not?
You know what? Fuck you. We're not listening to this song
anymore. That was so bad. That was the opposite of Chris Cornell. At least like sometimes with those bands, you have a lead singer where you're like, all right, I get why people are into this. It's got a sound that kind of sounds like everything else, but there's like something behind it. That guy just sounded like a fucking nerd.
Can't do it.
He was just a nerd.
Should we, sometimes we get into this, we get ourselves in trouble. Should we give them a little bit more respect here and do a little research on them? Heavy metal quartet Mudvayne formed in Peoria, Illinois in 1996. Oh, its members adopting the unusual pseudonyms of S. Spag, Gerg. Oh my God, the guitarist was G-U-R-R-G, Gerg. That's actually pretty cool.
That's hilarious.
Kind of in on that. Cud, K-U-D. On vocals. By the way, good, this smart move. I don't think Cud is a great name, but it's way better than his actual name as the lead singer, Chad Gray.
This sounds like the band that Kelly...
Hey, Chad, rip it out.
This sounds like the band that like Kelly Bundy auditioned to be the dancer for in Married with Children. Like, it's like the names that you're writing, that you're saying are like written by middle-aged men being like, here's a metal band.
Gerg.
Gerg.
The group's original bassist was replaced after 2 years by Rhino. R-Y-K-N-O-W.
All right, wait. Now I'm in.
I'm in now.
Now I'm all in on these
Ryan
guys.
Martini is his name. During their development, the band members began the practice of applying bizarre makeup.
Of course.
Always a
they
red
did.
Flag.
Of course.
Major
they
red
did.
Flag. They probably have so much money.
Oh, so much money.
Could be good guys.
Oh, my God. All right, so I just looked them. They all have ridiculous makeup. One guy just has a goatee and the word fuck written on his forehead.
Yes! I'm in!
Next to like the bloody metal
I'm
face.
So into
oh
that.
Oh my God.
I'm all actually right. Totally in now.
Maybe we do a Mudvayne episode.
We need a palate cleanser.
Okay. Oh, I'm just so relieved it's not Scars. This is great.
Isn't it awesome that White Stripes never cease to be fucking awesome?
So fucking good.
Beginning to end. And then Meg fucked off to the farm.
Yep.
And Jack did his Jack stuff, and it was hit or miss, his solo stuff.
Right.
But what he left behind was even better than what Oasis did. Just like every album was great to different degrees, but great.
There were so many eyeballs and opinions about the White Stripes at this point that I feel like everything was overly criticized in that beginning of music blog culture. It's so much more fun to listen to this song now and listen to
complain about the White Stripes because
people liked complaining or just like it's not, the way that Room on Fire wasn't as good as this. It's like there was a lot of that bullshit, and now when you listen to this, it sounds so much better without all the noise.
I mean, I wouldn't say we're elite musicians, but we're musicians.
Obviously.
Can play the very beginning of Stand By You by Oasis. What do you got, Bub?
I could play some of Brick on piano.
We've toyed with the idea of coming into possession of a Hammond B3 organ.
There was one waiting for us in like Minnesota if we would have made the ride to go get it.
That had to be expensive. The shipping had to be off the charts.
No, we would have had to go pick it up.
But my point is, and this is a dangerous thing to say in modern culture, but it does seem like Meg White wasn't the best drummer. Like this is all she did this whole song.
Yeah, but I'm not getting suckered into that.
I'm just saying. The drums never change. She comes in at three different points in the song. And it never changes. Like, I feel like we could do that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to watch you do that.
Oh, we'll see. Now you're coming off poorly in a different way.
What did I say?
In a different way.
I just enjoy.
Oh, I'm not as easy on the eyes, Bob. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm not a looker.
Listen, big guy. It has nothing to do with that.
whatever, fucker, you're going to be dead in 3 episodes. All right, here we go. Seether. Oh, another one of these guys. Man. Here, okay. Remedy by Seether. Oh, stop it.
This is already better than Mudvayne, though. Like, at least immediately, like, you've heard this guy's voice. You've heard this voice before. Like, you've heard everybody has this voice.
I feel like it's the same guy in every one of these.
It really is, but at least it's not the Mudvayne guy was, like, noticeably bad. Does this guy
wear struggling?
Is this guy wearing makeup?
Like, this drummer is better than Meg White, though. Like, come on. Maybe not better looking, but. Like, he's hitting different parts of the drum kit.
At least he's doing that. I almost like this one.
Almost.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
And by the way, Seether, they formed in South Africa.
They were a big one, right? I feel like Seether sold a lot of records.
Seether was on the radar for sure for a while. In fact, enough to have 1.5 billion streams worldwide.
Holy shit. Okay.
Across all platforms, according to Spotify. I mean, it's posted by Seether, so you got to probably cook the books a little bit there. Let's say 500,000 streams.
All right, you're at like a party with a bunch of dads. You're drinking your Tito's. You're talking about Little League. You're doing your thing. Subject of music comes up. Dad that you just met for the first time. Father of the third baseman of your older son's team. You ask him, what's your favorite band? And he casually just responds, you know, I've always been big into Seether. I'd say Seether's my number one band. What's your immediate reaction?
Curiosity, I would say.
Okay.
In all honesty, I would, because at least there's someone that likes music.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it's like in your town, but I don't even get the sense sometimes that anyone was listening to music in their past. So many of the dads, it's just, I'm just trying to dig to find something to get on the same page about it. And even if it's Seether, at least you were enjoying a certain genre of rock music at some point, and we could get into that. Like,
right,
what else did you like?
Right.
What about Papa Roach? What about Scars?
You're just, like, you immediately try to move it to Papa Roach. But he was like, well, also Mudvayne. Now you start thinking a little less of the guy.
I mean, it's like, if you like, that would be my angle, by the way. I would almost certainly like go right to, oh, you like them, but what about... I tear my heart open, I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much. And I'd be playing this on my iPhone in the middle of the party.
Of course you would be.
And just like holding it up to him, and just like with my head down, nodding with my eyes
closed. No, you'd be like, what's your Bluetooth? Let me get in there. Just to
fail. I mean, Bob. I would try to get into that a little bit.
Right.
What about you? Would you judge?
Well, yeah, of course I would, but I would be same reaction though. I think I'd be very curious. I'd want to know more. It immediately gives you an image of who this person was in 2005. Like, now they're the dad of the third baseman, mm-hmm. but back in 2005, mm-hmm. they were fucking seeking out Seether concerts and, I don't know, like punching people that didn't see it coming.
I would assume. Total cold cocking.
Just cold cocking strangers, I think.
That was part of it. That was part of the gig. You know, I'm noticing as we're about to move now to 5, 4, 3, 2, number 5, Bob, that there was, and this simply does not exist nearly 20 years later, like a legitimate mainstream rock scene.
Right.
Well, scene's the wrong word, but there was a world. It existed. It fucking existed, Bob.
Yeah, no, it was there.
And there were a bunch of big-time mainstream rock bands that got radio play and had a place. It was on modern rock radio and wherever else. And that doesn't exist anymore.
Does it, though? Like, there's still, like, rock radio stations we're not listening to, right? It's got to exist in some way.
Yeah, but bands like Coldplay of 2005, Foo Fighters of 2005, these are bands that were legitimately, everyone knew these songs, right? Right,
because it was still...
Even people that were into pop music.
I was going to say, because it was still pop. Even though it wasn't pop music, it was still pop. It was still popular culture. And that's not happening now. That's correct.
Like, is there... What's a rock song that's out right now that's popular?
That one, the Kate Bush song, is that still?
The one from Stranger Things?
Is that still popular?
Jesus, Bob. It's like 2 years ago. That Kate Bush song. Jesus. We are in a bad spot. Of course, this is Foo Fighters, and shortly after the unfortunate and untimely passing of Taylor Hawkins, we did the Best of Foo Fighters Taylor Hawkins era, and this was certainly in that conversation. This is off In Your Honor. This was the lead single. I always thought this was a great song, a great single, a great example of what the Foo Fighters do well, and that's cool that they had such a long run. Really from 95, and now this is 2005.
Yeah, 10 years later.
And I think they had one more album with a huge single leading off a couple of years after this. So, but they had like over a decade run where every album had huge songs on it, which very few bands do.
Right, and they're still relevant. They're still doing it. I loved their last album.
The one after Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah.
Some good stuff on that.
Really good stuff on that.
Yes, sir. All right. I'm looking for a pathway, Bob, into some Canada talk. But I have to tell you, by the way, we're going to continue to roll down this list. There's just a lot of mainstream
stuff
rock.
Stuff that's not going to get us into.
So what would be an artist that would get us into it? Let's take a quick pause. Give me something that would kind of put you in that moment. So we could talk about Bob in 2005, because I think we need to.
No, I think we need to, too. I mean, fuck. Don't make me go.
I'm going to grab a drink. So just think about it. Talk out loud.
All right. So should I just give like the beginning of the story? Okay. Yes. So back in 2005, I had a blog called My Blog is Poop. No, this is important. You do care, because this helped you get laid. So I think you would actually care a lot about it.
All right, that's fair.
Thank you. Grab me a beer too. So My Blog is Poop was one of these dumb blogs where I would just talk about, I basically try to use it to write comedy, to like figure out how to be a comedy writer. And it got kind of popular, and it got linked to a bunch of other sites like whatevs.org, and Gawker would link it a lot, and Gothamist would write about it. Like I was in a good spot. I became part of this like kind of an ancillary part of this blog world, that Ultra Girl and the Modern Org and all of these like music blogs and whatever. And I would go to parties and
sadman.org/members. You're all over that site. They would hyperlink you all the time.
So people were reading my blog, and I would get messages.
You know
from
who
people.
Hated it, by the way?
Who's that?
Little Bubby.
Oh, hated it.
Like, that motherfucker. He's getting traction.
Well, he was still on the clunky
in the culture.
He was still on the clunky message boards.
That piece of shit, fucking stumbling over message boards. That motherfucker.
So, I'd get messages from people, and one day I got this message from this girl in Canada. Her name was Christy. Mm-hmm. She also had a blog.
Not giving her a pseudonym. A pseudonym. That's good.
No, who cares? Whatever. So we started IMing constantly, and it was very flirty. And eventually she said, I'm coming to New York. I want to come to New York. Let's hang out when I come to New York. So she made these plans where her and her friend Kirby.
That's a real name.
That's a real name for an attractive woman.
A real name and a real person.
A real person.
Yes.
Her and Kirby were going to come down to New York for a few days, and we were going to hang out. So I said, I've got a fucking piece of shit friend that can hang out with Kirby.
That would be me.
That would be
That's
you.
That's where I come in.
And yeah, let's meet up. So this whole time, you know, it's early internet. We're still.
Oh, what's the song that's underneath right now?
I feel like the song underneath right now should be maybe Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah.
Okay.
Do we really just go 05? Do okay. The Skin of My Country, Yellow Teeth?
Sure. I got you, bud.
Thank you. So we're like, yeah, let's do this. Let's meet up. And Dan and I were very obviously suspicious of this entire ordeal.
You're going to say horny.
And horny. Fair. But very suspicious of this because it's like, here's this like.
I was dreadfully lonely at the time as well.
She had her pictures online and she was gorgeous. Like
very attractive. Like undeniably attractive.
Modeling pictures too. Where she's like, yeah, I do some modeling. Like that kind of thing. It's like, all right, this is obviously fake. So she's like, I'm going to be in New York. Let's meet up. So Dan and I, we meet up at MTV, where I'm working at VH1, and we meet.
You wish you were going to MTV.
I used to work at MTV. Nerd. It's the same building.
Yeah, you're on the Don Henley station. Take a walk across the street.
So we meet up, and the plan is to
you're
meet.
You're with Jill Sobule.
The plan is to meet Kirby and Christy across the street and then go to the Dream Hotel right up the road, which is like a rooftop hotel. We're going to get some drinks there. That's the plan. And again, very suspicious, low expectations of how this is going to work out. So we get to this, I feel like it was like a pizza place that we were meeting them at to then take them. They're not eating. We walk in.
Hey, big guy, you want a slice? Fuck you.
Immediately, the second Dan walks in the door.
I'm trying to get laid here. Hey, big guy, how about you? I'll take a water. Yeah, I mean, come on. We're at the pizza shop. What do you want?
We walk in the door and we see them there. And they are both smoking. Just like, holy shit. This is real.
Very attractive women.
Very attractive women.
And foreign women. There's just like a whole, there's a lot going on here. These are not women from Bergen County, okay? These were Canadians. They were from another country. They were from a metropolis in Canada.
Did they even speak our language? We didn't know.
We did not know.
I feel like it was raining outside. We had a couple of umbrellas, and
we did. That seems unlikely.
We took off because, you know, we were modern men of the 2000s.
I don't imagine we would have ever had umbrellas.
We walked up to the hotel, up to the bar at the Dream Hotel, got to the top, and immediately, like, Christy and I are in like one part of the air, like sofa.
Necking.
No, just talking, and yes. You and Kirby immediately hit it off. And it went like that for hours where it was like, holy shit, this is like, this girl is clearly into me. You were feeling the same thing. This is insane. We say goodbye that night. You and I like walk 30 blocks just being like, what the fuck just happened? Was that real? Holy cow. We end up spending like the next week. They were in town for like 4 or 5 nights. We spend like every night with them completely. I mean, by the end of the week, I had a very serious girlfriend.
Yes.
You and Kirby were like, hot and heavy. Hot and heavy? Can I say hot and heavy?
Yeah, we hit it off, and we were there as like the friend to make sure everything was cool, but then we hit it off. So it was kind of an unusual thing for, because it doesn't always work that way,
right.
But we ended up really finding something there too. So it was a cool little thing.
Yeah, so Christy and I became like right off the bat, like, yeah, we're dating now. Like, this is it. She came back to New York and stayed for like a month, like lived with me and Eric, who...
Yeah, that was... I'm sure Eric was thrilled about that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was a great roommate. But no, she like came back and then you and I went to Canada to see them. Like, it was real. And then Christy moved to New York.
Yeah, some would say this was happening a little too fast at this
point. Some might say that.
Yeah.
But when you know, Dan.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Pretty quickly, things started to change, though, as I recall.
Yeah, things got very intense very quickly. And actually, this song is kind of the beginning of the end, actually. I remember walking into the apartment, and this was playing. And I was like, who is this? She's like, oh, it's Clap Your Hands. And I was like, where do you hear about this band?
Oh, no.
Who the fuck?
Oh, fuck. Oh, no.
And I feel like that's a good place to leave the story for a minute while we go further down the countdown.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's tough. Yeah, that's a great place to pause. All right, let's keep moving. Bob was happy. There was a time where Bob was happy.
Oh, I was so happy. So this is like 2005. We were hanging out, watching Arrested Development together.
Ah.
24, like that was big in the conversation.
You mean the program 24 with Kiefer? Yeah.
Yes, the program 24. Yeah. Working.
Green Day was back.
Green Day was back. I mean, who didn't want Green Day to be back? So everything was going well.
All right, here we go. This is a great fucking song, by the way. Perfect song, perfect single by Green Day off American Idiot. Check out the American Idiot episode that we did this past Super Bowl in Vegas. I saw them for the first time. It was, what was the party? It doesn't matter. It was one of the parties, and they played a small room, House of Blues, I believe it was, something like that, in one of the casinos. And they played this all killer, no filler set of 14 songs. I actually did think of you, Bob, and like Bob would have really appreciated this.
Never saw them. Never saw Green Day.
And I had so much as the show ended, which they, considering it was kind of a corporate gig playing a Super Bowl party, I'm sure they got paid handsomely, but it wasn't for their hardcore fans. They fucking went for it. And they all look good. They're in their 50s now, but they all look great. And the music sounded great. And they sounded vital and into it. And these songs all sounded fresh still. And I was like, damn, have we kind of not given this band its due for what they've done over the last 25 years? Like, they're one of the best bands of the last.
I feel like they've got, that's a good question, but I do feel like they've gotten their due. Because I feel that same way where it's like, do we just take them for granted? But like, they've had a hit musical. Like, they've won Grammys. Like, they've kind of done everything.
That's fair. All right, I like this part. Apparently, they put out a greatest hits somewhat recently called Green Day. Greatest hits, : God's favorite band. That's with the three great of them in priest garb as stained glass figures.
All right, that's pretty great. All right. I like that a lot.
Yes, you know that song. We know that song. Everyone knows that song. Holiday, number four. Yes, going back to the story. So, yeah, as it was like two parallel love stories going on with you and Christy and me and this mysterious woman, Kirby. And I do remember just going to the Virgin Megastore in Times Square and it being kind of an important thing for her to buy, I think she bought it for me, a Tragically Hip CD. And was like, you gotta dig in on this. And I was like, all right, I'm in. And I was like, what are they like? What are they? Yeah, it literally could have been like Yoko Ono's solo work. And I would have been like, oh, yeah.
So, Dan, I really like this band Mudvayne.
Me too. All right. Yeah, I remember her using as a selling point that, you know, a lot of songs are about hockey. I was like, this is the most Canadian shit
I've ever been connected
to in my life. I'll never get closer to Canada than this. I could, like, rent a flat with Wayne Gretzky. I'll never get more Canadian than this moment in time.
And making out with a girl in a car to the Tragically Hip.
And we did. And I remember just like, while you were upstairs with Christy being in my Honda Accord parked on the side streets of Times Square listening to the Tragically Hip and enjoying myself with Kirby, enjoying each other's company. There's a lot of good memories there. And actually, Kirby and I's relationship, which we don't need to get into because it was much shorter and less impactful on each other's lives, ended kind of quickly. And then we got back in touch, I want to say like 10 years ago.
A couple weeks ago?
Yes, I called her. I said, please, I need to get out of this prison. That is my marriage with my children in this prison I call California. No, she emailed me like 10 years ago and was like, hey, last time we hung out, didn't go so well, and I'm sorry. And I was like, don't be sorry. It was like a nice, mature email between two people in their 30s that had moved on.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how your relationship ended, though.
No nice emails ended up being sent either direction.
All right, finish the story now.
So I think May was actually the month that I moved out of Brooklyn into the Lower East Side. So Brian, our friend, who I went to college with, moved up to New York, and the plan was Brian and I were going to move in together and start this project, this website together, thepostshow.com, where we would start posting sketch comedy on the internet, kind of pre-YouTube.
It was a thing especially.
It was a thing, and we were like, let's do this. So Brian was going to move to New York. We were going to move in together. I was ready to get out of Brooklyn, and my genius idea as a 25-year-old, I'm about to make several really bad decisions in this story.
Yeah.
And this is the first one. Christy wanted to move to New York so we could be together, but we knew it was a bad idea to just like move right in together because we had only been together for what, 4 months, 5 months. So the plan was I was going to move to the Lower East Side and live with Brian. She was going to move into my old apartment.
No.
And live with Eric, who runs our Instagram page. Thank you, Eric.
Hey, Eric. You remember how horrible this was? Remember when Bob fucked you up for no reason? When he should have seen this all coming?
It made a lot of sense because obviously, like, we're dating. She's going to be with me most of the time. Eric essentially gets half the rent paid, gets the place to himself. It kind of is like a perfect.
Oh, I'm sure Eric thought that. Yeah.
It was the perfect thing on paper. It made a lot of sense in a very logical way. Did not quite work out that way. So I moved to the Lower East Side. Christy moves to Brooklyn from Canada. From Toronto to Canada, from Toronto to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for probably a few weeks, it worked out perfectly. Maybe a month. Let's say a month and a half. It works out really well.
That's not that long.
It's not that long.
It's like 40 days.
Now that we're kind of like living together, essentially. I don't even want to say the other mistake I made.
Go ahead. No, you're in too deep now. You're in too deep, Bob. Do not tell this story without telling the whole story.
This is so stupid.
Do it. Go ahead.
She was really attractive.
She was?
Okay.
She's a very pretty woman.
This makes it worse.
Go ahead.
You know what you should play?
What?
Bright Eyes, First Day of My Life.
Oh, shit. Oh, no, Bob. It's all going to come out now.
I was saving this for the Bright Eyes episode, but we might as well just do it now.
We are not doing a Bright Eyes episode, so I'm glad you got this out of what a gorgeous little song to lay it all out on the line. There you go, Bob.
So not only is she now living with my old roommate, Eric, in my old apartment, but... you know,
wait, pause there for a second. Hang on.
This is the first day of my life. Swear I was born right in the doorway. I went out in the rain, suddenly everything changed.
By the way, if you were in your 20s and single in the mid-2000s and you did not put this song on a mix for a significant other or someone you wanted to be your significant other, shame on you.
Shame on you. It was right there for you.
It was all, that's why this song exists.
And I don't know where I am, I don't know where I've been, but I know where I want to go. And so I thought I'd let you know.
Okay, come on, let me talk.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm feeling things.
Can I put you in the moment?
So coming from Canada, it's not that it, you can't just move to New York.
Can't just jump to the big screen. Can't just
jump onto the big screen. You need to work. You need a job.
Oh, no, Bob.
And Christy had like a very popular blog as well. So I got
her. It's all relative. You said very, but okay.
So I got her hired to work on the Best Week Ever blog.
Shit.
With me, where I'd be her boss.
No! Who was your boss? Wasn't he like, oh, slow down, bro?
No, like her blog was actually very popular. So it's like, hey, this girl is available and she's good at this. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's great. Let's do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, great idea, Bob.
Terrible idea. Out of all the ideas, the worst of the worst ideas. So
if you went out of your way to connect her to your business.
My profession. Yeah. So if you're counting the bad ideas, it's getting like falling like that hard and just being all in with somebody that quickly, which happens, you know. The heart is a mystery, Dan.
The heart is a muscle.
The heart is a muscle.
As we've heard before.
Having her live with my old roommate in my old house, where now like we're all tied together, and now hiring her to work in VH1 so she could be in the country legally. Like we said, like a month and a half later, everything falls apart. Not like the Dog's Eye View song, just
right. So the clap your hands, say yeah, that was connected in what way again?
That way it was like I was you know, going into the office and working. She was like kind of blogging sometimes and basically like in the apartment all day. Like Brian actually referred to her as like the house cat because like she would just be like in the room, door closed.
And Brian didn't notice a lot of things. So that's for true. Him to notice, that was
like pizza boxes piling up kind of stuff. Like she just was like very hermity.
Pause.
Why this?
Canada.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
That was real quick aside, a really fun moment. An aside to the aside of us doing a countdown episode, a really fun moment when you and I went to visit Christy and Kirby in Canada. We flew to Buffalo and then drove into Canada with our friend Brian, who was living in Buffalo at the time. And on the way in, we knew we had to go through customs. So we had our IDs ready and we just put on Brian Adams and played Summer of 69 on repeat going through customs like a bunch of idiots. Like this is the funniest thing we've ever done. And you could just tell that the agent was like, you fucking losers.
Fucking losers.
Fucking losers. Nobody's. Anyway. Yeah, so Christy was like in New York hanging out with this like New York blog scene. And became friends with the dude.
I feel like we're not even doing a podcast anymore. It's just Bob like unloading stuff.
This is therapy now.
That he would otherwise have to pay for.
Yeah, this works for me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway. Kind of became friends with this dude who was definitely sketchy as fuck. Didn't like it.
Yeah, there was some... The fuck was the right word there to use.
Yeah.
Connected to this.
Well, no. So here's the thing. we'll get into that after. But it just like... It fell apart very quickly. With her being in New York, and by like July, it was over. It was like over. Like she's moving out of the Brooklyn apartment. We are broken up and I am just fucking hating Canada.
Oh, Canada.
And we actually broke up on the dance floor at a wedding.
Oh, shit.
Which is one of my favorites.
Like in the middle of upstate New York or something? Wasn't it somewhere?
No, we were in Maryland.
Fuck.
Let's go to the next song because we gotta end this episode at some point before I break down.
Just end the story, Bob. That's the other way to do it. Oh, Canada.
So we go to... things are crumbling and we have this weekend where we're going to two weddings in Maryland. I have two of my friends are getting married the same weekend.
Like when I play Oh, Canada, that's playing off the story. Like in the Oscars.
Okay, let's do it. So at the first wedding, we get there and things are just like not like
two weddings.
We get to this wedding. We're just like fighting the whole way there. We're just miserable at the wedding. And at a certain point, I go outside and I text our friend Sarah, who lived in Brooklyn. And I text her like breaking up with Christy when we get back. Like this isn't working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She comes out and she's like, what are you doing? Are you avoiding me? I'm like, no, I needed some fresh air. I'm going to go inside and dance. You can stay or go. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to go inside. So I go inside, I start dancing. Christy comes out on the dance floor. And as we're dancing to, like, We Are Family or whatever sort of bullshit wedding song, we're there and we break up on the dance floor while dancing. There we go. Oh, she loved Nine Inch Nails. Aw.
Oh, no. Spicy hot take. This is the best Nine Inch Nails song.
I love this song.
But like, sure. I think it's the best song.
That's a big hot take.
Reznor ever put out.
You might not be wrong.
I think it's perfect. I mean, it's so fucking propulsive.
Yeah.
It's so... Everything just, and the song just keeps moving and building, and it's everything that he did well.
Yes, I agree.
And it's angsty, but it's not, you know, it's not a drag. Like, there's an energy to it, and I mean, and there's some great Nine Inch Nails songs.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This was like a high-end rock band song, right?
It was. Yeah. That's a good call. I mean, listen to this. Yeah. This is so good. Yeah, I actually think this section, and as musicians, we could tell you this is the middle eight.
Yeah, we do know that. We know that.
Maybe. I know it's the middle of the song, but listen to the instrumentally. Listen to this. This is awesome. I can't believe Nine Inch Nails recorded. Maybe it was Pretty Hate Machine. One of their early classic albums at the Tate House.
Yeah.
Before
it was cool.
Yeah, before Tarantino, but before it was torn down. Before right. It was. So everything was exactly.
That's so crazy.
As it was. I was reading. Shit, who was it? I was reading it was like either a memoir or someone that was connected to the scene that visited during the recording of the album. And he was a major fan of the Tate murders, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
And so when he got invited to go, he was there and he knew all the different places where like the blood splatter was, where the bodies were found, and he was... in Hog Heaven. It's a very weird thing. Mark Sessler from the Around the NFL podcast, you may know him. He is a major Manson murders.
Super fan.
and he knows everything about it. And he's been up on that road many times. And he's talked with people that live around that area. And that house is no longer there because... Yeah. The guy created Full House, bought the property, and then bulldozed it and built a hideous
right
mega mansion, which is,
I mean,
gross. But
no, but also like, let's not make that a tourist spot. So I get it.
All right. Okay, I'll give it to you. The thing about the end of that story that I remember when you were telling it, Bob, was that. You go to two weddings with your girlfriend who you're on the outs with before the weddings.
Well, yeah, that was like the make or break weekend. And I knew it going into it. It's like, this is either going to save our relationship or this is the end. And it was the end.
Yeah.
But then after that first wedding.
Then you had to drive back.
No, more than that.
To New York.
No, more than that. After that first wedding, we went to a hotel, slept in the same bed, then went to a second wedding the next day.
No, Bob. Why'd you go?
Because we were there. It was my friend's wedding.
I know, but. Extenuating service. You could have explained it.
Nah, we're 25. We were dumb. It's fine.
Yeah.
Went to the second wedding and then drove home like in bad Sunday traffic. And
oh, traffic.
Miserable the entire way home.
Did you talk?
oh yeah, fought the entire, like it was like quiet and then.
But
like,
you broke up already.
Right. But it was still, you know, you're still unpacking everything.
Oh shit, Bob.
It was bad. It was really bad.
That sounds honestly like the worst thing ever. No chance of reconciliation. It was already, it was over, over.
Yeah, it was over, over. And then, yeah, we got back. She moved out. She moved in with this other guy right away.
And well, that's always suspicious when that happens.
It is, but here's why.
Oh, no. Are you gonna, no, we don't need to do this, Bob.
Hold on. Play the next song, and then I want to tell you what I'm thinking.
Okay. But we know what you're thinking.
I'll be right back. I'm going to cry.
He's in his feelings. He's walking away. He's going, oh, he's using the restroom. Tough. Tough situation for Bob. But the, I think the lesson here, while I just have you, the audience, is never date a Canadian. And I think you knew that. But let the last 15 minutes of the program make that crystal clear. Steer clear of Canadians. Everybody's going to the party, have a real good time. Dancing in the desert, blowing up the sunshine. This song is bonkers. I love this song. System of a Down, BYOB. A harsh takedown of the George Bush presidency and the foreign policy that led us into the war in Iraq. No blood for oil, Bob. No blood for Christie. I'm glad that you, I'm glad you both, I don't actually don't know what happened with Christie down as her life continued, but I know you moved on in time.
Yeah, and I don't know either. I've never, that was one where it
that's
was like,
okay. I think sometimes it's okay.
Yeah, it's better to just be like, we're done, this is it, let's not be friends. Like, let's just move on from this.
Shortly after this, this week in history, May of 2005, in July I believe it was, or August in 2005, is when we did see Coldplay at the PNC Arts Center in New Jersey. And that's when Bob and I were standing together at a Coldplay concert thinking of our exes. And Christy is who you were thinking of. But why were you were lovelorn by the summer still? About
no,
her?
No.
After all that?
No, because by then I was like, I was, that was like the hardest breakup I ever had. Like I've had, like pre-Heather, there were like five serious girlfriends. And that was like the really hard breakup because it was, it came so quickly and it was just like,
it's kind of a traumatic relationship.
It was a traumatic relationship. Yeah. But by the time you and I were holding hands at Coldplay, I was like going further back to be like, what have I done wrong to get to this place?
Oh, you were 25 years old. It's amazing.
I was. Yeah. But it was real. It was like, what did I do wrong to get here? Like it must be because I had broken up with this other girl before that. So it was like I was immediately longing the older one.
Yeah, you're conflating relationships.
Yes. Everybody's going
to the party. People should know that in 2005, I was a very active softball player, fast pitch softball player, Rockland County, New York. And this was the hype song when we would take the car rides to deep parts of Rockland County. Great. This would get us pumped.
Great hype song. Dancing in the desert, blowing up the sun. Yes! 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 Yes!
Why do friends invite the war? Why do they always send the poor? Why do they always send the poor? Why do they always send the poor? Why do they always send the poor?
They're the fucking best.
It's a protest song.
They're
Bob.
The best. They're the best band ever.
System of a Down. I don't know if we've really talked about System of a Down on this podcast,
we did that rock episode once.
I am,
but I don't remember
all
what
about System of
They're
a Down.
They're so fucking fun.
System of a Down is completely insane. Like, that song is such a perfect distillation because it's a very melodic, smooth chorus. You know, everybody gonna have a real good time. And then it just slams into just like the most vitriolic takedown of American politics you'll hear from any artist in that era. So it's a bit of whiplash. I'm sure artistically there was a... If I had a guess, I've never actually thought about it before.
Of course not.
Because it's insane. The song is kind of insane when you listen to it. He was probably saying, well, everyone's having, you know, a good right. time in America. And oh, look at Tom Cruise jumping on the couch. And oh, look at Bob ruining his life with a Canadian. this president is, you know,
yeah.
causing chaos. And I'm here for it. I'm here for... System of a Down and their political takedown of the establishment.
But here's why, for all of you that think you know us, you can't put us in a box. Because nary an hour ago, we were talking about our love for Oasis. But Dan, do you know what our friend Noel Gallagher said about System of a Down? One of his famous quotes.
I would love to hear.
Quote, "Do you ever look at the sky and think, I'm glad I'm alive? After I heard System of a Down, I thought, I'm actually alive to hear the shittiest band of all time."
Oh, no.
Which is quite something when you think about it. Of all the bands that have gone before and all the bands that'll be in the future, I was around when the worst was around.
Oh, man.
Noel Gallagher.
It's a great quote.
It's a great quote.
I get it. I get where he's coming from on it. Speaking of horrific music, that gets back to System of a Down, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And they're like, what?
Who gives a fuck?
The Wonderwall guys?
The Wonderwall guy? Fuck that
guy. These guys suck. The number one song on modern rock radio. And it does, it is, when we talk about what are the themes of this episode of the Throwback Podcast, wow, mainstream rock was very healthy, in a very healthy place in 2005. As mainstream as, Bob, your one of your favorite bands ever got. Here we go. When I say that Rivers Cuomo at some point in the early 2000s fell, I'm assuming he fell and suffered a catastrophic head injury.
He could have been like walking through a crosswalk and maybe got hit by a car or something.
Yeah. Like, but it would have been like a what was the Brad Pitt movie?
Like Meet Joe Black.
It had to be like a Meet Joe Black car accident issue.
Right.
And he ostensibly recovered. And then kept writing music, and everybody was like, oh, everything's normal. This is the song I think about. When you think about Pinkerton and the Blue Album and even the Green Album, and then you hear this, you're like, oh, something happened to his brain.
Look at all those movie stars. They're all so beautiful and clean. When the house meets up the floors, they get the spaces in between.
Oof. And what is it, Bob, that, because you are a Weezer super fan, and I like Weezer, certain elements of Weezer, but I was never the fan that you were. What is the most disappointing aspect of this type of Weezer? Because I think, for me, I like that Rivers Cuomo's songwriting was quirky and strange and introspective and uncomfortable, and then this is just like aimed right down the middle.
This was the real beginning of the end. Like, obviously, Blue and Pinkerton are in their own world, their own class. Green Album and Maladroit are different, but great in their own ways. This song was the warning flare of what's to come for Weezer.
Spoken word interlude.
The truth is, I don't stand a chance. It's something that you're born into, and I just don't belong. No, I don't. I'm just.
And by the way, I'm going to pause this because, and this is his gift, even post head injury, he does have a knack for melody and a beat and just being able to write a catchy tune. In another world, there's a good song with this type of, I know it's simple, obviously, but
right.
It's fun. Like, but the lyrics, Beverly Hills, and the video was at the Playboy Mansion, and it's like, I just don't fit in, and you know, it's something that you're born. It's like, shut the fuck up, dude. You're a rich rock star who, after your first album came out, you went to Japan, and like, you also painted your apartment black, including the windows, but still got any woman you want. And you,
no, he wasn't getting any.
Were rich, and you were going
a weirdo.
You're going to Harvard. Oh, dude, the whole Pinkerton's about that.
Yeah, he was in Harvard, and nobody knew who he was, and he had weird leg surgery, so he was locked in his room for a while.
You don't think he was scoring with the Japanese girls he's talking
Not
about?
Not in the way songs? That, like, Axl Rose was. I think, like, he probably had a couple of flings, but I don't think he was like, I'm fucking everything that moves.
Agree and disagree.
Despite what Tired of Sex says.
But I think being famous and rich and a rock star, I think he was doing pretty well, even if he doesn't want to
I think
acknowledge
he was doing
it.
Well for a guy who is as awkward as he is could do.
No class beat down fool, and I will always be that way.
But get the fuck out of here with this underdog
but
shit.
But look, much like I was able to talk I was able to talk myself into some terrible decisions in 2005. I was also able to talk myself into this song. But I never loved it. Like, it was like you just said, like, that moment was a great moment. He has a knack for melody. I was able to be like, justify this song as like Weezer's fuck you to the world. Where it's like, you guys didn't like Pinkerton. I came back with a green album and I made it soulless.
But we liked it.
No, it was a failure, Pinkerton was.
No, green album.
No, a green album was fine. But I feel like this was his way of saying, I could make a number one song. And fuck you guys, I'm going to make the simplest bullshit.
How big was this song?
It was big. It was big enough.
It was big.
But this album, Make Believe, has a few really good songs, but it also has We Are All on Drugs, which is like this song. But
that's their worst song.
10 times dumber and the worst song I've ever heard. So that was when you knew that like they were just hanging on by a thread and then they lost the thread.
Let's see how well this does.
But then they came back with the White Album, and they've been great ever since.
Don't do it. It's a top 10 song.
I know.
It peaked at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah.
That's so rough. It was also the first song to chart there, I guess, in the Billboard Hot 100 since Undone, the Sweater song. Like, that song is a iconic song. It's just, I know people think I'm joking about that. He hurt himself.
Stop. You know, there are people out there with real head injuries that think you're making light of it.
I'm not, but that's what I'm trying to tell you, that he hurt himself in his brain. And people should be more, in fact, people that have suffered head injuries are listening to this, be like, he gets it. Like, you need to be more aware of what that means. And there's no quick recovery. All right.
I'm glad we're landing on a very... So if you or a loved one have suffered a head injury, please go to www.
Do not... Don't let them put out music on a major label because they're just not ready. And they might not ever be ready. All right. There you go, Bob. That is the top 10. Jesus. Beverly Hills by Weezer.
Number one, baby.
My God.
So as we always do, obviously, we're going to have to pick a song to go on the Throwback Podcast playlist.
Okay.
But before we do that, Dan, we still haven't figured out this part, but we are going to be reworking the Patreon tiers. But in the meantime, we are going to thank our top tier Patreonies that make this show possible.
Oh, yeah.
Top tier Patreonies like Bruno the Sponsor.
Oh, we love Bruno.
The man who's been here.
Where is Bruno these days?
Since the very beginning. He is now the Prime Minister of Canada. Dating Christie.
Isn't he in the woods still?
No. He came out. He ran for Prime Minister. And now he's in charge of that entire nation.
I thought it was that good-looking guy.
No, that's Bruno.
Oh. Bruno Trudeau. I love it. Good, 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 good. Who else?
Thank you to Courtney.
Thank you, Bruno.
Courtney,
you're the best, dude.
Courtney and Wyatt.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to write Utah rock legends. Who has ever come out of Utah?
Well, Courtney. I mean, Courtney is like the number one. Well,
obviously. I would love to give them a theme song, but we love Courtney and Wyatt.
Courtney's become like a big deal, and I feel like our podcast is part of the reason for that. So
I think she knows that, and it's unspoken, and we don't even need to bring it up, but she gets it.
She gets it.
Shout out.
Thank you to Matthew.
Matthew. Matthew had a theme song, didn't he? It's been a while.
It's been a while. We're resting. Guys, just wait for it. We'll figure it out. We'll get to the bottom of all this.
Hit us up on Twitter. What is Matthew's theme song?
And, of course, Miles.
Oh, I know that one. Miles. It's great when you, on Spotify, when you type in scrambled, there's never, ever any confusion.
I would hope not.
I mean, who else would ever name a song Toss Salad and Scrambled Eggs? Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss Salads and Scrambled Eggs. Thank you, Miles.
Thank you, Miles.
I think you might be able to settle down with... What was he? What was
Daphne.
That? Daphne.
All right. If you guys want to get involved, patreon.com/... Daphne. Throwback Pod.
Frasier getting laid on that show?
I feel like he didn't...
Because he had the wife, of course, on Cheers, and then he was single. But I don't remember, like, Frasier running through the Seattle scene.
No, he tore it up. Dan, we got to pick one song to go on the Throwback Podcast playlist. I know you're not gonna go for Head Injury Weezer. I don't think either of us are going to go for...
Where Am I?
I don't think either of us are going
to... Take this pen, write a hit.
For Mudvayne.
No, that was bad.
That was really
like even
bad.
Mudvayne fans have to be like, yeah, I can't do it.
I think we both know what it is, and you could just start playing it because it's pretty obvious to me.
There are a few options, but I'll guess you're talking about this.
No, because that was outside the top 10.
Oh, is that a rule?
That's been a rule since...
All right, how about this?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. Great. I like how we have these arbitrary rules.
Which I think we've broken more than once. Like, it doesn't even really count as a rule.
There you go. Nine Inch Nails. The Hand That Feeds.
Yeah, this is fun. This is going to sound good coming after Coldplay on the playlist.
Yeah, we need this. Yeah. Yes, thank you to everybody for listening. As you know, as Bob explained early on, we are migrating over to Patreon. So join us over there to get full access to the archive. And we'll be back every other week with a brand new episode next week. Bob, what are we doing?
Our next episode, we're hitting possibly the most underrated band ever, ?
How about this? Maybe we all missed it? Greatest band ever?
I think we might have missed it.
All right. That's a tease. Till then, go fuck yourself. Buying 99.20.